Amen. All right. Well, I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight and those that are listening over on our web or a recorded tape. Right now, I have Pastor Sam on my right and Pastor Tim on my left, and I am Pastor Jim. Tonight, we're going to discuss a really good, interesting topic. And, you know, a lot of us have issues and a lot of us have needs, and sometimes we even just want to begin a journey. Some of us are looking for spiritual enlightenment or trying to just live a better life, and they begin to introduce themselves to God. Most people, you know, they say they grew up with God, or then there's others who have never grew up with God and said that, you know, maybe they want to start trying them out. And we want to encourage those that are on that journey to really grab hold of the trust factor, where you give God a moment, but you don't give him long enough. You tend to fall back into, really, we want to call it the world's way of thinking, or the carnal way of thinking, where you can't see the unknown. And God, we spoke a message about this, where God doesn't exist, but he does exist, but he doesn't exist. He only exists when you create him in your heart, but he does exist. He's there, he's real, he's alive and living, and, you know, he does exist. He's the creator of the universe and the heavens. But to an individual, he doesn't exist until you begin to believe or trust. And this is where the very foundation of anyone's life needs to begin if they want to have some sort of life, really, an eternal life. Not only an eternal life, I keep saying eternal life because I know that we have two lives. One is an earthly life that really is never a real bliss of peace and joy and happiness. It's always a struggle. It's always a fight. It's a weary life. And then you have another life, which is an eternal life, which is geared more towards spirit, and it really does bring a peace and a joy and a righteousness, a happiness, and that life is connected with our internal being, where the other life is connected with our
carnal and
our external. The external. I want to call it the external, because you got your head, and then the things that are actually happening around you. Right. You know, because we get so caught up with the things that are actually happening, like a loss of a job or an illness or, you know, a financial need or, you know, whatever the other, you know, maybe you need a bigger home or, you know, or a smaller home or whatever. But those things are carnal, where God supplies all of our needs and he knows exactly what we need. But we get caught up in all those things, and we really need to just begin to trust God. And, you know, I'm going to pass this over to Tim because he's been chewing on something today, Pastor Tim. He's been chewing on something about trusting God and how, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight, and you need to put some time in it and be very patient. Patience is a big virtue as far as trusting. I know God has groomed me in areas where I see visions and I see future visions, and so I know that those things are going to transpire and take place, but I just don't know how long, what the timeline is, and there's an eternal realm that God operates in, and we operate on a tick-tock time, you know, and if you can give yourself that area of patience and just waiting on God, then he brings to tuition what is shown. And but that's a lot of, I want to say, trust. You have to really trust God to get yourself to those levels. And we've been trusting God now for over 20 years. 20 years we've been, you know, ingrained in this gospel. And, You know, we work every day at it. Every day we're constantly working out our salvation and growing to the points where if you keep staying tuned into our messages, you'll begin to start getting some of the deep waters that we're all dipping into. But there's a world that is within us that God created, and that's the world that we really need to live out. But it's we all have like nudges to it, you know? But then we're lying to ourselves, and this is a whole different subject. But I'm going to just pass this over to Pastor Tim, and he's going to share about what he's been eating today.
If you can picture a relationship between two people, trust is earned, it's never given. And when you're trying to have a relationship with someone, and we're not talking about God for this instance, but just a relationship with one another, it takes a period of time where you're constantly working at that relationship, whether it's whether you're listening to that person, whether you're communicating with that person, whether you're doing things with that person, but there's a relationship there that started, and the more that you spend time with that person, there's a development of trust, and you're earning their trust, and they're earning your trust. Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, many people say, hey, I have a relationship with God, but through the years, it was a relationship with rituals. It was a relationship with traditions that you might have learned, but you never really developed a relationship with God where you started really trusting him in all things. So what I've been thinking about all day and meditating on this is, you know, with God, our relationship needs to be earned and not given. You know, God won't give you, like, he won't give a baby a shotgun, you know. Over time, like, when we first come to know God, when he's always calling each individual. And when you answer his call, he slowly brings you into a relationship because his voice is constantly speaking, but because we have other chatter within our mind, we can't always hear his voice and his inklings when he's pressing upon us. So what he does is we're an infant. You know, when we first come to know God, we're an infant. And an infant, if you ever look at an infant with a mother, it's constantly trying to cling to the mother and it's being fed, you know, and it can't talk yet. It's the same thing with God. You know, God's constantly trying to feed us. He's constantly trying to will us, trying to spend time with us so that we can get to know God in that special way. And he starts to raise us up into becoming a child to where we start to really hear his voice and we start talking back to him in a way where we're communing. You know, we're listening and then we're communing. But it takes a long period of time. I mean, if you look back at Moses, when Moses went up to the mountain to go seek God, he was up there 40 years spending time learning to know God's voice and learn his ways before God said, okay, now I'm going to send you back to my people and free them. He didn't just give it to him. Like, he didn't have like an encounter and all of a sudden, hey, Moses, you're to go back to Egypt now and you're gonna free my people. No, he had to spend 40 years getting nurtured and spending time with God and listening to God and being taught by God in order for God to say, now I trust you. Now I trust you to the point where I can send you and free my people. Well, that's the same thing with our relationship with God. It's a nurturing process to where he brings us up into maturity, to where we know his voice and he knows us and we become one. And that's when we know that we are fully trusting in God in all things. I'm going to pass it over.
Well, I want us to ask, like, how to our listeners, they probably want to know, how do you start that journey? You know,
good question.
Everybody, you know, I believe wants to have God in their life. And most of the time, they just give up too quick. Yeah. And then they say to themselves in their heart that God doesn't answer them or God's not here or whatever it might be. But I would like to just kind of encourage our listeners to, you know, don't really count on anything. Yeah. You see, take each day as it unfolds, and then when that day is unfolding, really enjoy as much as you possibly can in that day, and lay hopes down. You know, you hope to have this and you hope to have that, you know. But you can't make anything happen and you can't control anything. And those are two big factors that people need to understand, because absolutely. I think most of our disappointments and our depression and those types of natures that cause discouragement in our heart is where we really want, we have expectations, and you know, those expectations brings great disappointments. And
if I can interject on that real quick,
mm-hmm.
You know, our human nature expects everything to be instantly. We want to answer instantly. You know, we're praying to God for this, and we expect an instant result or an instant notification from Him. And it doesn't always work that way. You know, God says those who wait upon the Lord, you know, will have renew their strength. You know, and it's, you can wait months sometimes for something from God, as far as just being moved. Yeah.
How
about years? Yeah, like
they waited 40 years to get into the promised land.
Absolutely.
Only because their hearts were murmuring.
Complaining, and God doesn't answer murmuring, complaining. Right. He makes you wait it out so that you can repent and change that.
And then you have to ask yourself, it's okay. Then you got to ask yourself, aren't we all murmuring and complaining every day?
Constantly.
Every day.
Yeah.
So you have to say to ourselves, could it be just our murmuring and our complaint, our attitude, our disposition? And we may not be murmuring or complaining through our mouth,
yeah.
But in our heart we're murmuring and complaining. And this is where God really dwells and hears. And so, you know, He could be saying, "Listen, I want to show you everything. I want to be in your life. I want to fill your desires of your heart." But you're just a hot mess, and you're just murmuring and complaining. And they might say to themselves, "Well, what do you mean? I'm just sitting here waiting." But in their heart, you know, they're just not happy.
I'm glad you brought that up. I read this morning when I was getting ready for work. Most people in authority, whether it be job-related or what have you, they hire people based on attitude, not your credentials. They want to look at your attitude. Is it positive? Are you energetic? You know, are you, you know, not looking to murmur and complain like we say? That's where most people get hired, is because their attitude is stout. It's positive. You know, think about this. If you're constantly murmuring and complaining, God's hearing that and saying, "Wait a minute. Why would I bless you? Why would I even want to talk to you right now, because you're throwing a temper tantrum in your heart?" You know, if God hears the heart, that's all He's hearing, is our constant complaining and murmuring and temper tantrums that we're throwing because we're not getting our way. And God's saying, "No, you know, look, I'll let you sit until that stops, and then I'll start to commune with you again."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the truth.
So, you know, for those that would like to start a relationship with God, they really have to look at their disposition. And how they're carrying themselves, and start, I want to say, clean up. Start cleaning themselves up. Become more calm. They actually call it the fruits of the Spirit, where you're gentle, meek, you know, caring, and
self-control.
Like
Pastor Sam always says, first starts with awareness.
Awareness of catching what is manifesting at that present time. You know, people that want to come to know God, you need awareness first. And you got to have awareness what's manifesting in your heart. Am I depressed? Am I always murmuring? Am I annoyed? Am I angry? You know, once you start realizing what that's doing and you start to turn away from it, then you can start to really start that relationship with God, you know, that you want.
Well, you know, going along with that, you have to say to yourself, for one, you have to start accepting circumstances. Most people are just not happy with what's going on right now in their life. They need to begin to start accepting the circumstances and begin to be happy, you know, and that will be, I think, the beginning of a change in your life. If we were honest with ourselves, you will find out that you're not really a very happy person. You know, now I'm not saying be like a Fruit Loop and just be like, ooh, hi, how you doing? Oh, everything is wonderful and great. Yeah, that's a Fruit Loop. You know, that's just nothing but a facade. But come to a place of being content and peace within your heart and enter a rest. And when you can come to that place there, that's when I want to say to those that are actually looking for a relationship with God, that's where you can begin to start having a relationship with God. Because you can't have a relationship with God if you're not bearing these fruits of the Spirit. Because God is a spirit. And if you're going to be bearing fruits of the flesh, don't even bother having a relationship with God, because God doesn't want a relationship with you. Even though that God loves everyone unconditionally, he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because he doesn't want to be around, just like you wouldn't want to be around, someone who is constantly angry or, you know, upset or annoyed. And you're carrying yourself like that, it really puts a bad JoJo, I want to call it. And, you know, I used to call it like the Peanuts, where you have the pig pen and the dust cloud around. So you're bringing that dust cloud in the atmosphere, and everybody's choking around it. You don't realize it, but that's what's really taking place. So those that are wanting to have a relationship with God and don't seem to really be getting anywhere with that relationship with God, and may feel like he's never answering your prayers, or it's taking forever for your prayers to be answered, or you're not being blessed the way you would like to, or you're just not happy with situations that are going on in your life, it's because of your character. I really want to say that. You know, we should take on that character of Christ, which, you know, is really the full aura of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, and I think Pastor Crudge and Sam.
What he's saying is what I was going to say. What happens is, Tim said it earlier, God's always, say, chasing us or desiring us. And in the world, our character is a mess. Our character is built up of worldly thoughts, worldly fears, worldly worries, worldly anxieties, and these worldly thoughts have created a foundation in us that just breeds fear, worry, and anxiety. It's what it breeds. There's no truth inside of us. And, you know, we have a troubled heart. And when you surrender and say, you know what, I'm going to try God. I need something. I need God. And you realize, because he puts that desire in you. Desire for God came me out of nowhere. It came from you out of nowhere. It came from you out of nowhere. We weren't looking for it. It just popped in us out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, I wanted to look for God. I wanted to find God out of nowhere. I didn't think about it. Bang. But when I searched for him, he started giving me truth to start battling my troubled heart. If you're of a troubled heart and you're, let's say you break up with your girlfriend and you got 10 guys come along to you and try to give you advice, and every one of them is just nothing. That one person comes along with truth and talks to you with a troubled heart, and your troubled heart is set free. God is always that person, is always that one that brings that truth and it sets your troubled heart free. If you embrace the truth, you got a choice. Our troubled heart's there because of lies of this world, and God comes along with truth. See, without truth, there is no God. God is truth against all the lies in our head that create fear, worry, and anxiety. And without that truth, there's no foundation, there's no beginning with God. And, you know, like I said, this ministry, you just keep listening to the messages, you're going to start having a desire for more and more, because you're going to start seeing your troubled heart getting set free with the truth that we bring in here. If you start applying the truth that you hear in here, you're going to be set free. And it's little tiny battles up front. It's the little battles of, you know what, I'm getting more patience now. All of a sudden, I have more patience. All of a sudden, I have more joy. All of a sudden, I'm seeing myself where I used to manifest and flip out. I'm calming down now because I have this truth inside of me that all things work together for good. That if God is for me, who could be against me? These truths that we never had before that cause a troubled heart come in, and it's one by one. You have one truth, and you start adopting that truth, and all of a sudden you start applying that truth, and then you have self-control with that one truth, and then more truth. There's so much out there from God that the foundation is never ending. It's a foundation that we can build on and build on and build on, and it never stops. That's what he wants.
That's awesome.
At the same time, you know, our listeners got to know how to get it, you know, because truth doesn't drop out of the cloud.
No, but the desire for God does. This truth's in here.
The desire for God does come within us.
It's in here. That's where, it's where you get it.
Okay. Now, the desire for God comes into us, and we begin to become a seeker. Okay? We're looking for God. But what if we don't change our
behavior?
Yeah, our behavior.
Then we'll never face the truth, because we'll be a hot mess.
But that's why you listen to the messages.
And that's over. This is what Pastor Sam was talking about. You have to be mentored or instructed or shown or given the truths or the principles or the keys to help understand. Like even today.
You got to be willing to labor, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We got to work. You got to work it out. Yep. And even tonight would be a good tape for someone to grab hold of to say, wow, I really need to start looking at my attitude, because my attitude reflects whether or not God wants to hang out with me or not. Yeah, he's knocking at your door, and yes, he's drawing you, but at the same time, P.U., because he resists the proud. And, you know, when you look at these certain key principles and you know the character of God, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, he resists the proud. I had a talk with a person just this week. And this individual knows another person, and they said, well, he's really good with his relationship with God. He thanks God in everything, and he's always, you know, saying, hey, praise God and all that. And I said, well, you know, sometimes blessings come in as an angel of darkness too, to keep that person cloaked in a self-righteousness and a pride. You know, is his God really God? I mean, he's saying, oh, thank God, you know, and this is what, you know.
Outwardly, he's saying that.
He created an image where he's almost hard to approach because he's so religious, so to say. Pious, I guess that's a good word to put it. Yeah. And, you know, the way I look at that is, you know, you could be so prideful in your, you know, walk with God or what have you, where he's always saying, well, he's the one that blessed me and he's the one that did this. I say, why couldn't that individual just be grateful inside their heart? Why do they have to constantly let you know? You know, I mean, you can, like, let's say I met you for the first time or something, and I say to you, hey, you know what? I just want to thank God for what he has done in my life, and he has brought me to these blessings. But every time I see you, thank God, you know, thank God, praise God, you know, look at that. You know, there's limitations of that particular character, and pride comes in really sneaky. And, you know, we have to be careful about how pride begins to arise itself. And that's why I say the fruits of the Spirit, really, if we can just, like, lay them out and really study those fruits and apply them so much to our life. Because, you know, there's also other areas in Scripture where it says to become all things like all men, to win them the more and stuff like that. So, you know, I think character right now is probably a big factor on what God is looking for in this hour. That's how I truly feel.
You're
100%. In my heart, you know.
But the people who are in that area don't have a clue about their character.
No, they don't.
They don't know They don't know what they're manifesting. They don't know fear. They don't know worry until you're shown or given truth to weigh against the lie. You don't have a clue about your character. So you can't say that they don't know until they hear truth. Once you hear truth, that's going to go against your thought process. And truth will always hit the mark. It's always it's never ever going to be denied. You can't, it's like you can't regurgitate it. It goes in and sticks. Whatever's inside of them is starting to question the truth, but you can't say to somebody they don't know if they're in fear. They don't know they're prideful. They don't know. So without giving them a truth that this message is in here, they ain't going nowhere. They need to have truth to go against what's already in there. So they can start saying, which one is truth? The one that I'm thinking or the one this? Because this guy's saying is making sense. This guy's saying has to bring more and more peace. Maybe what I'm thinking is wrong because this isn't making sense to me. Now I'm confused. This makes more sense than what I believe.
You know, the other thing, too, is...
Well, I wanted them to elaborate on that. Hold what you got, yep. Because I want them to elaborate on that. Because, you know, we have to define what is truth. You see what I'm saying? And you're coming back to this, the messages that are being said in this place. Because, you know, you can't just go out in any gospel message.
No.
And try to find the truth.
This is the only place you're going to find this truth. This is it. And we've all seen, listen, I mean, every day I have a CD on in my car of the messages here. And I listen to them every day, and I need it. It's a different level every day. The messages in here, if we really want to be free, if we really, really are willing to work at it and start listening to the truth and start denying the lies that have put us in the predicament we're in of fear, worry, and anxiety or miserable, whatever it is, then if we're willing to work at it, we're going to be free. This place, you found this place, you found the truth. Now, if you're willing to give a little bit, just a little bit, you're going to be free. You just listen to the messages here. It starts transforming. It actually transforms you by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Really, the effort's all in the effort of putting a CD on, because the transformation will just happen. It's nothing you have to think about. As a matter of fact, as the truth comes in, it's going to start taking the old lies out mm-hmm. and replacing it. Just simple as that. There'd be like no effort. And that's the way it was for all of us. If it wasn't like that for all of us, we wouldn't be here. We're not brainiacs. We're all ignorant, unlearned people. We're all farmers. We're all goofballs. But listen, we have a desire for God, and he met us one step. We took a step. He ran 50 steps to us.
You know, just to piggyback off of Pastor Sam, it takes humility and honesty first to realize we're messed up. You know, our way of thinking, the way we've been taught everything, we're messed up, because deep down inside, every person knows that they have worry, fear, and anxiety in their heart, because we're all a hot mess until we start to get this truth in us. And in the beginning, when you start to lay it down through humility, the truth starts to penetrate, like Pastor Sam was saying, and the truth hurts at first. Because it goes against your grain. It goes against that soul. It goes against all those thought processes that we've been so accustomed to. And it hurts a little bit. But as we start to break away from it, the truth doesn't really hurt anymore, because we're hungry for it. And we're hungry for more truth. And God starts to really work on us, and it starts to transform us into truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the point of constantly bringing the tapes mm-hmm. into your mind. You know, there are many gospel messages out there, but not any that are our gospel message that we speak here.
Not like it.
No. And the difference is because we tend to get to the roots of the matters, the main core issues of what is keeping your heart, you know, from reaching those levels of peace and joy. And we are transformed from different levels. I mean, like, you might listen to a tape and, you know, you hear it for a while and you're going to have some change. And then you're going to go back and listen to some tapes and renew your thoughts and all. And then you're going to come back to another level of change.
Correct.
Even though you listen to the same tape.
It goes different levels. Same tape 25 times different every time.
Same tape 25 times different levels.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, I want to emphasize this precious point of this gospel that we're speaking, because there are many, many gospels out there. You'll hear lots of stories. You'll hear about the prophets. You'll hear about the saints. You'll hear, you know, and they are all formed with some sort of religion. But not really getting to your issues or what you're going through. I haven't really heard of some well-known TV evangelist to try to talk about depression or why do you even have depression or something of that nature. I mean, look, it's good to be motivated. Don't get me wrong. You know, give me a good motivational.
There's no answers to their problems.
Yeah, tell me I got to, you know, suck it up and brush it off and pick myself up.
God.
And
just praise God. That's all you got to do.
And get out there and keep going.
Here's why, though, Pastor.
But let me hold on to that. Yeah. You know, hold on to it. Because we also are fighting that the people don't understand. And that's why this gospel message is very important. There are powers and principalities and wickedness and darkness in high places. And if we don't control them, yep, or we're constantly worshiping them,
yep,
even though that we're saying we're not,
yep,
you know, we are by the way we murmur, by the way we complain, by the way we worry, yep, by the way we want to control, by the way we want to manipulate,
yep,
you know. We are enforcing powers that you just can't see. You have no idea. And we bring those issues in all the time about it. You know, you want to get some self-help. You want to go do some, you know, high-energy classes to get you, you know, motivated. Go right ahead. You know, you'll have a good, you know, yes speaker. Yes, yes, yes. Just say yes and everything. And have a good attitude, but you're not going deep enough, and your heart is a mess.
It's still troubled.
It's still troubled. It's still upset.
You never had truth.
And you might put on a good facade and a good happy face, and you're coming to a place of dealing, but you're covering it all up because inside you're still screaming.
Yep.
You're still yelling. You're still screaming. You're still kicking. You're still, you know, punching the walls inside yourself. And this is why I say this gospel message is so important for those that are listening, so that that nonsense has to stop and that you really come out of the tomb or the cell or, you know, the prison or wherever fortress you're buried down into, to come out and really begin to experience life. But that's not going to happen overnight either. And this is why we started in the beginning that we really, you knew, you need to understand how you have to trust God. But as we walk in trusting in God, not only trust God, create him in our heart, begin to make him real in our lives, begin to lean on him and, you know, and those kind of things, and then get that character.
Yep.
You need that character. And then dig into the fruits of the Spirit. If not, you're wasting your time.
Exactly.
Literally, that's the bottom line. And I don't want to see anybody suffer. Yeah, my heart cries for people who really long for, you know, God and their life to change, but they're walking around with unbelief. They're lying to themselves.
Yep.
They're not building any relationship. They may know truth, too. They can repeat everything that I just said. But at the same time, they're not allowing it to come inside and allow that internal work to be done.
Life-changing.
Yeah. I mean, they're just doing all the right things on the outside and cool, saying the right things with their lips, but their heart
far from
where God wants us to be equipped at. And this is what this gospel does. This gospel gets you to the heart. To the heart of the issue, to the heart. And not many people really want to hear that. You know, they want to hear, you know, do 10 steps and, you know, you'll be delivered or what have you. Or
perhaps salvation.
You know, or just, you know, you just keep positive and you know, your dreams will become true. Look, that's only going to last for a short period of time. And you're end up going to be right back into the same pit that you're at. And you know, I'm saying this now, and I'm holding back right now because I want to give you the mic, but I also want our listeners to understand the sincerity. We've been ministering this gospel now for 20 years, and we're rooted and grounded in it. We know what's going on. Now, look, would I like to see a lot of my circumstances changed? You know what? More than likely, I was probably murmuring and complaining in my heart, too, until eventually I came to a level of understanding to surrender and let it go and then watch the changes occur. But at that time, too, you know, when you cry out, God opens your eyes and he begins to speak to you and show you things. But it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
And we're going to get right back to the root of where we started off. We got to learn how to trust him.
But peace starts automatically. A level of peace where you had none. As soon as you start getting into this truth,
Through this gospel. Through this gospel. And we're going to keep emphasizing it. Through this gospel.
Because God wants to back his truth with a sign of peace in you.
Yep.
And as we go farther and farther, that peace grows and grows and grows. And guess what? Pretty soon we're peaceful.
Yep. And I want to encourage those that are listening, whether you're over in Honduras or whether you're over in France or Italy or, you know, wherever country you're at, or even right in the United States, grab somebody, grab a friend, grab someone that's close to you, and really make a like a vow or a commitment and say, let's log on and listen to these things and let's apply and see if it'll make a difference in our life, you know? Yeah. And I challenge you, those that are listening, to actually do that, because you can be a hearer, but if you're not a doer of the hear, it's going to hurt you, you know? And then you take on the form of the truth, but yet there's no truth inside of you. No power, exactly. So I want to give Pastor Tim the last words.
When you were talking about our gospel that we follow, our gospel is predicated on grace, which is revelation knowledge from God. And that revelation knowledge, we apply it. So that's why this gospel is the truth. I know other ministries out there. I know other churches. They're following an old gospel that is basically living off of somebody else, their testimony. I mean, let's face it. Grace is constantly there. It's constantly given. It's constantly moving. It's now and
it's
forever.
It's a river. It's a river, and the river's flowing.
If you're not constantly flowing and moving in this knowledge of who God is, that God's grace is being poured out, you're stagnant. You're living off of somebody else's testimony, and you're not applying it within. There's no power there within it. We all came from religion. Back in the 90s, I mean, we had a sense of religion, but God plucked us out of that and gave us grace, and we applied it. We're battle-tested in this truth. We have experience after experience after experience from God and in God in life. And there's people out there that say they're in God, but they're not, because they don't have any experience. They don't have this life. They don't have this flow of grace that's in their life, because there's nothing new. It's like the Israelites when they said they used to eat the old manna. You know, well, God's always giving fresh manna, and that's the revelation. That's the grace that we're talking about. It's an everyday occurrence, and these other religious sense, whatever, it's not flowing. There's no flow to it. That's why it's lifeless. It's not setting anybody free. You know, like somebody was saying earlier, hey, why is this not setting this person free? And it's because there's no life in it. There's no experience. There's no truth. It's no impact. There's no power behind it. That's why people aren't being set free. But what we're speaking, if you apply it, it's going to set you free. Amen. I know that.
Yeah, you have to get it in you. You have to get it in you. It has to be a part of you. You know, I say, give me like 20 minutes in a room with someone, and I'll tell you their level. Yep. Their level of where they're at, whether they have peace, whether they have joy, whether they have religion, where they're at. Give me just 20 minutes with that individual, and I'll tell you whether or not, just by some of the words that come out of their mouth. And you can tell, you know, that they're troubled or what have you. Right. Or how introverted they may be, where they might not say only a few words. And when I see people who only say a few words, you know, you have to say to yourself, is that wisdom or are they just an introverted person? And if they're introverted, where they don't come out and really express honestly what's going on, whether they're having a good day or a bad day, that's a trouble inside. Give me 20 minutes. I'm saying 20 minutes, but I only really need 5. Give me 5. But you know, with that all being, But it's so true about being honest with ourselves. We got to be honest with ourselves. Yeah. You know, I know some really good people who I care about so very much that have the form of truth, but they're rotting inside. You know, and that's sad. That's sad to me. I would say count everything that you know and throw it away. And then just start going deep inside and trying to be honest and know who you are. Just know who you are. Just know who. What do you want? Start there. What do you want? Do you know people can't even answer that, but they want something? They want something, but they don't know what they want. That's the worst place to be. They want something.
Dazed and confused right there.
Oh, they want something, boy. They want it. I want it. What is it? I don't know. Well, then take a couple of steps back, and whatever you want that you think you want, throw it away until you find out what you want.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then let's start there. I think we're so filled with all these wants. Yet they have no name to them.
Yeah, they're like big question marks.
They have no name.
They don't have an answer.
They have no name. You see? Until you reach that point of being honest, and then you go deep down inside, and then you begin to be honest, and then you can declare what you want. You see? I know what I want. You ask me, I don't hesitate. You know, I either wanted rest. Or I want to
peace, joy, and righteousness.
Yeah, I want to go have fun, or I want to go work, or, you know, so whatever it is, there's something that I want to do.
Right.
You see?
Yep.
And what I would like to see happen, you know?
Absolutely.
And, yeah. When I see an unhappy person, first thing I say to them is, well, what do you want? You know, what do you want? And then they might tell me what they want, and I'll lay it out. Okay. Well, for one, how do you think you're going to get it? You know, a lot of times it might be they don't have enough money, or, you know, and I'll say, okay, do you think it's reachable? You know, you got to start talking some sense. And a lot of times we have to talk sense to ourselves.
Yeah.
Is it reachable? Okay, then let's start chipping at the mountain then, rather than getting so discouraged at just not having it because they want it, you know. But that's another message that will come on, because I think we need to go deep. We need to go deep to the soul, to the center core of the person, so that they can begin to start knowing who they are and really start coming to that place of rest and peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We're out of time. Thank you for logging on. I have Pastor Sam to my right, Pastor Tim to my left. You can always email us or log us on if you have any questions. And email us. And then you can also log on to our archives. We have a huge library. You can listen, go back many years and listen to what we were saying or what have you.
We'll come out on Sunday.
Oh, there you go.
You know, sometimes you just got to come here, get in here. There's an atmosphere in this place on Sunday, and, you know, we have a great worship team on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock that really brings you into peace and meditation, and then, you know, we have the message at 11 o'clock, so we invite everybody out. If you can get here, please get here. There's nothing like this atmosphere here. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you Sunday, or we'll listen to you next week.
Amen.